Chapter 3. Love and Life. In 1880, Benjamin Button was 20 years old and celebrated his birthday by going to work for his father's company, the Roger Button and Company, Wholesale Hardware. That same year, he also began going out socially, meaning his father insisted on taking him to many fashionable dances. At that time, Benjamin had stopped dyeing his hair. It was still kind of grey, and his father was 50. They looked the same age, and more like brothers than father and son. It was an amazing summer night in August when the two of them got into the carriage, all dressed up, and set off towards Baltimore's countryside, to the Shevlin's dance. A gorgeous full moon illuminated the road, and the scent of late flowers spread over the still air like sweet laughter coming from far away. The open country, surrounding them with wheat fields, was nearly as bright as during the day. It was almost impossible for that magnificent sky to leave the viewer indifferent. Almost.
"There's a great future in the dry goods business," Roger Button said.
Sure enough, it was impossibly easy for Roger Button to ignore all the poetry in the landscape. He was not a spiritual man. His artistic sense was very basic. But then he added a deep comment.
"Old people like me can't learn new tricks. It's you, young people with energy and vitality, that have the great future ahead of you."
A few moments later, they spotted the Shevlin's country house lights in the distance. They could also hear some faint, sad sounds coming from far away. Either the sweet voice of the violins or the gentle movement of the silver wheat under the moon. Their carriage stopped behind another fancy vehicle which some passengers were getting out of. There was a lady, an old gentleman, and then another young lady, an incredibly beautiful young lady. At that moment, something happened in Benjamin's body. An almost chemical change seemed to break and then put back again every cell of his body. A thunderbolt shook his back, and blood rose into his cheeks and forehead, passing through his ears. It was first love. The girl was slim and delicate. Her hair was the colour of ash under the moon, and the colour of honey under the gas lamps of the entrance. She was wearing a soft yellow Spanish shawl with black butterfly decorations, and her feet looked like sparkling buttons at the bottom of her elegant dress. Roger Button moved over to his son and quietly said,
"That is young Hildegard Moncrief, the daughter of General Moncrief."
Benjamin received the information rather coldly.
"Yeah, quite pretty,"
he said indifferently. But as soon as the carriage boy was away, he added,
"Dad, you should introduce me to her."
They moved closer to the group where Miss Moncrief was at the centre. Having been educated in the old tradition, she curtsied low before Benjamin and agreed on a dance. Yes, they would dance. He thanked her and walked away. Well, not really walked away with the serious and elegant walk he would have liked, but still, they would dance. Time went by incredibly slowly until his turn. He stood close to the wall, silent, severe, watching the young men of Baltimore dancing with Hildegard and looking at her with passionate admiration and at them with murderous eyes. How proud and healthy they were! How dare they! Their perfect, curly, brown moustaches made him feel sick. But when his own time came, and he hit the dancing floor hand in hand with Hildegard to the music of the latest waltz from Paris, all his jealousy and anxiety melted away like snow under the sun. Blinded by her magic, he felt that life was just beginning.
"You and your brother got here just as we did, didn't you?"
asked Hildegard, looking up at him with eyes that were impossibly blue and bright. Benjamin hesitated. If she believed him to be his father's brother, would it be better to explain? He remembered his experience at Yale, so he decided not to. It would be rude to go against a lady. It would be criminal to ruin this precious occasion with the grotesque story of his birth. Maybe later. So he said yes, smiled, listened, and was happy.
"I like men of your age," Hildegard told him. "Young boys are so stupid. They tell me how much champagne they drink at college and how much money they lose when playing cards. Men of your age know how to appreciate women."
It took Benjamin all of his willpower not to ask her to marry him straight away.
"You're just a romantic age,"
she continued.
50. At 25, men are too arrogant and attracted to their social life. At 30, they're too focused on work. And 40 is the age of their infinite stories. 60, well, 60 is, oh, 60 is too near 70, but 50 is the perfect age. I love 50.
50 seemed to Benjamin a glorious age. He now wished he was 50 with all his heart.
"I've always said,"
Hildegard went on,
"that I'd rather marry a man of 50 so he can take care of me than marry a man of 30 and take care of him."
For Benjamin, the rest of the evening went by in a love haze. Hildegard gave him two more dances, and they found out they agreed on all the questions of the day. They even made plans for the following Sunday, when they would go driving, and discuss these questions more in detail. On the way home, just before dawn, while the bees were starting to fly around, and the silver moon was disappearing behind the fields shining with cool dew, Benjamin was not completely aware that his father was talking about hardware, as usual.
"And what do you think we should focus on more after hammers and nails?"
the older button was saying.
"Love,"
replied Benjamin without thinking.
"Lugs?"
exclaimed Roger Button.
"But I've just talked about the question of lugs."
Benjamin looked at him with dreamy eyes, while the first eastern light of the sun lit the sky up, and an early bird started singing loudly among the trees. 6 months later, Miss Hildegard Moncrief and Mr. Benjamin Button's engagement was made known. Mind you, made known, not announced. Because General Moncrief declared he would rather fall upon his sword than announce it. And the excitement in Baltimore society grew uncontrolled. The almost forgotten story of Benjamin's birth was remembered, and soon spread around in all sorts of absurd and incredible forms. It was said that Benjamin was in fact the father of old Roger, that he was his brother who had got out of prison after 40 years, that he was John Wilkes Booth hiding from the world, and finally, that he had two small horns coming out of his head. Journalists were into the story too. The New York papers contributed by publishing some drawings of Benjamin's head attached to a fish, a snake, and even the body of a big trumpet. He became known in newspapers as the Mystery Man of Maryland. But, as always happens, the true story was very little known. Everyone agreed with General Moncrief that it was criminal for a lovely girl who could have married any young man in Baltimore, to throw herself into the arms of a man who was, without doubt, 50. Mr. Roger Button desperately tried to convince everybody of the truth, and even published his son's birth certificate in the Baltimore Blaze in large fonts. But no one believed it. You just had to have a look at Benjamin, and you would know it couldn't be true. The two involved parties, Hildegard and Benjamin, however, never had any doubt. Hildegard had heard so many false stories about her fiancé that she was determined not to believe even the true one. In vain did General Moncrief point out to her the high mortality among men of 50, or at least among men who looked 50. In vain did he tell her of the possible risks of the hardware business. Hildegard had chosen to marry him for his age and the calm kindness and good sense that came with it, and that she did. Hildegard's friends were wrong at least about one detail. The hardware business was more and more successful. In the 15 years between his marriage in 1880 and his father's retirement in 1895, the Buttons' fortune was doubled, and that was mainly thanks to Benjamin managing the company. Eventually, and obviously, Baltimore welcomed the couple into its arms. Even old General Moncrief finally accepted Benjamin. How could he not, after he gave him the money to publish his History of the Civil War in 20 volumes, which 9 important publishers had already rejected? Benjamin himself had gone through many changes during those 15 years. It seemed to him that the blood ran stronger and faster in his veins. It was also much more pleasant to wake up in the morning, to walk with an active rhythm along the busy and sunny streets of Baltimore, and to work with no rest at the company among his orders of hammers and nails. However, it was in 1890 that he came up with his most brilliant idea. He suggested that every nail used for cargo boxes be counted in the order as property of the client. This proposal became the rule, was accepted by Chief Justice Fossil, and managed to save Roger Button and Company Wholesale Hardware, well, more than 600 nails every year. In addition, Benjamin discovered a new interest for the fun side of life. It was his greater and greater love of pleasure that made him the first man in Baltimore to own and drive a car, for example. His fellow citizens would stop and stare at him on the street. He was the picture of health and energy. "He seems to grow younger every year," they would comment. And finally, now that he was 60, old Roger Button, who hadn't been able to welcome his son appropriately all those years before, was now making up for his previous lack of enthusiasm by adoring his son and looking up to him. And here comes an unpleasant subject, which we had better deal with as quickly as possible. There was only one thing that worried Benjamin Button. He wasn't attracted to his wife anymore. At that time, Hildegard was 35, with a son, Roscoe, who was 14 years old. Benjamin had loved and treated her as a goddess during the early years of their marriage, but as time went by, her hair, once as golden as honey, was now a plain brown, and her sparkling blue eyes weren't shining anymore. Moreover, and most of all, she had become too comfortable in her ways, too satisfied with what she had, too weak in her interests, and too serious in her tastes. She was once the one who had to pull Benjamin along to dances and dinners with effort. Now, it was the opposite. Sure, she kept going out with him, but without any excitement. She had already accepted that constant inertia that comes into our lives one day and stays with us to the end. Benjamin's unhappiness grew stronger and stronger. In 1898, he felt so sad at home that he decided to join the army in the Spanish-American War. Thanks to his influence in the business world, he was soon made captain, and then proved so capable that he became major, and finally lieutenant colonel, just in time to take part in the last glorious battle up on San Juan Hill. He was slightly wounded, and he even received a medal. Benjamin had become so attached to the activity and excitement of army life that he didn't want to leave it. Unfortunately, though, his business needed attention, so he had to give up his position and go back home. When he arrived at the railway station, a music band was waiting for him to take him home as a hero. Hildegard was waiting for Benjamin at the entrance door of their house, with a large silk flag in her hands. She was now 40 years old, and her hair had a thin line of grey. She looked so different. As he kissed her, that difference became real and made him very sad. Looking in the mirror up in his room, he checked his reflection with worry and compared it with an old photograph he had as a soldier just before the war. Impressive.
"Good Lord,"
he said out loud. There was no doubt. The process was going on. He was definitely growing younger. He looked like a 30-year-old now. You might think that he would be pleased by this discovery, but in fact, Benjamin felt very anxious about it. Up until then, he had hoped that this grotesque phenomenon that had started at his birth would stop the moment his real age matched his body age, but that was not happening. He shuddered. His future seemed awful, incredible. When he came downstairs, Hildegard was waiting for him. He noticed that she looked a little upset. Had she finally found out that something was wrong with him? In order to find out and break the ice between them, he decided to bring up the matter at dinner in what was, he thought, a delicate way.
"You know,"
he said lightly,
"everybody says I look younger than ever."
That approach was not really delicate for Hildegard, not at all. Annoyed, she immediately replied,
"Do you think it is appropriate to boast about it?"
"I'm not boasting,"
he added uneasily. Even more annoyed,
"The idea,"
she said, and after a moment,
"I thought you'd have enough pride to stop it."
"How can I?"
he asked.
"I'm not going to argue with you,"
she went on.
"But there's a right way of doing things and a wrong way. If you've decided you want to be different, I suppose I can't stop you, but I really think it's quite rude."
"But Hildegard, I can't help it."
"You can. You're just stubborn. You think you don't want to be like anyone else. You have always been that way, and you always will be. But stop for a second and think. How would the world be if everyone looked at things like you?"
This was such nonsense that Benjamin decided not to reply. And from that time on, the distance between them grew wider and wider. How could she have been so fascinating and beautiful to him once? He asked himself over and over. To add distance to distance, the turn of the century was closer every day, and with it, his desire to live life to the full grew stronger. Name any party in Baltimore at the time, and Benjamin was there. He danced with the prettiest of the married women and chatted with the most popular young ladies in society, enjoying their company. Hildegard, looking disagreeable and angry, was there at all the events among the chaperons, and observed the scene, sometimes with dislike and snobbery, sometimes with confused and critical eyes. "Look," people would say, "what a pity. A young man that age married to a woman of 45? He must be 20 years younger than his wife." They had forgotten, as people always do, that back in 1880, their parents had made exactly the same comments about this strange couple.